57% of women voting in yesterday's Alabama Senate election went for the Democrat, Doug Jones. But that included almost all, 98% of black women voting. Just over a third of white women voted for the Democrat. An estimated 63% chose Roy Moore. Why? And why did they vote for President Trump, whose election prompted so many other women to run against his principles? Emily's List, which is dedicated to getting Democratic women elected, says 1,000 women asked for support before the 2016 election. Afterwards, and after the Women's March in Washington, that number surged to 22,000. Stephanie Shriok is president of Emily's List. Stephanie, is this a disconnect? White women still largely voting for Moore in roughly the same numbers that they voted for President Trump, but a growing number of women who want to run because they're opposed to Donald Trump.
Well, I think it's always important to remember that not all women are the same, and not all white women are the same. And we are seeing higher turnout from college-educated white women. We are seeing greater support in comparison to their non-college-educated counterparts Doug Jones yesterday in Alabama. And to me, as I think about the winning formula for women candidates across the country in 2018, it is the college-educated white women, particularly in the suburbs and exurbs, mixed with the incredible energy and base of African-American women who continue to lead the way for the Democratic Party.
Well, and they talked about the woke vote, the women, black women in particular, leading the charge to get African-Americans to the polls to vote, in their case, against Roy Moore. I mean, let's be clear what they were doing, the woke vote. But talk a little bit more about this disconnect with white female voters. I mean, is it also true that maybe you're not representing the way a lot of women feel? And how do you change that when you see them vote for a Roy Moore or a Donald Trump?
Well, you have to remember that these often are women who are married to white men who are very certain of their support for people like Roy Moore. And we cannot forget that women are living in the stew of misogyny. It is everywhere in their lives. And there is great pressure to conform and be aligned with their husbands, with their families. And the first places that's starting to crumble is with the white college-educated women. And that's where we're seeing so much growth among voters for Democrats. We at Emily's List are seeing so many college-educated women of all races raising their hand, wanting to run for office. And you mentioned those numbers earlier. In fact, I should tell you, today we're over 23,000 women who want to run, and we had 66 women sign up yesterday, just yesterday, saying we want to run. This is sort of a movement. We can't expect everybody to go all at once. And it's just going to take non-college educated women a little bit longer. It might take a long time because we have to break through the misogyny that has been their lives forever.
Okay, I want to talk about the number of candidates running. It is pretty astounding. Female House candidates, for instance, 354. That includes 291 Democrats and 63 Republican females. This is an increase in the number of candidates running for office. So Republican women are getting into the races as well. Before we let go of this topic, though, you talk about women maybe voting a certain way because they feel pressure from men. You know that the women that we've heard being so outspoken in the last couple of weeks in Alabama, the women who voted before that for Donald Trump, would be very offended by that. To them, it's, you know, their own choice, and they are choosing Roy Moore. And there's one thing that is driving a lot of these votes, and that is abortion. Emily's List has been said to be a pro-abortion rights organization. You are backing candidates who are largely for abortion rights. What do you do about that disconnect? That this is one issue. A lot of women said, I don't care about the charges. I don't care about tax cuts. This is the issue that I care about. How do you address that issue?
Well, as I said at the beginning, no, not all women are the same. And to think that 52% of the population think all alike is a huge mistake. And mm-hmm. we heard those voices in Alabama where they made it clear that abortion is their number one issue. There are also women in Alabama where access to abortion is their number one issue. Mm-hmm. And that's okay. These elections are not, at the end of the day, about one issue for the vast majority of the population. Yeah. But they are for some. And that, you know, that's part of the work that we do. I mean, our job at Emily's List is to find a winning coalition of women and good men who stand with us to elect strong pro-choice Democratic women. And that winning coalition starts with the leadership of African-American women. It is with Latinas and Asian-American women and a growing percentage of white college-educated women. And that's how I believe we see a wave of women get elected in November of 2018.
How much has the recent uproar over sexual harassment in the workplace on the part of very powerful men, it hasn't yet filtered down to, you know, the factory lines, but that's how right. much has that propelled women into office? What are you seeing? Or into running for office?
I believe this is all tied together. The women who marched in January and felt that they needed to have their voices heard stepped outside in their communities and then looked around and realized they weren't alone. Yeah. But I think that's why we're seeing the Me Too movement. And even this week, we saw the Democratic women in Congress step up and say that Donald Trump needs to be investigated because we are listening to the women who are speaking out. And that is such an important cultural change for this country. And now we've got to get it to the factory floors and we got to get it to the waitresses who can't afford to speak out. We've got to back up all those women, too.
Well, women are speaking out in Congress and the president is speaking back. Let's address the tweet he sent out about Senator Gillibrand saying that she would do anything for fundraising, a sexual insinuation there for many. But we're hearing that she and her backers are actually embracing that, that they say it reveals something about the president and elevates her. Your thoughts?
Well, I completely agree. We have continued to see this president use this coded language in so many ways, but particularly as it relates to women, whether it was Megyn Kelly early on or Senator Gillibrand this week, he continues to belittle and bully women. Now, to be fair, he also does that with other folks, but this is very particular, and we need to call this out. This is not appropriate. We are better than this, and our president needs to change his ways, and I don't foresee that happening, but that's what needs to happen. We need to change the tone and the language we're using.
Well, some people think that more women in the workplace will do that, and we mentioned the number of House candidates. There's also double the number of female candidates running for seats in the Senate. There's more men running as well. It seems like people are really wanting to get in the race to make change. But we remember in the 2016 election how much Democrats were trying to make of what they called a Republican war on women, the lack of the moves to eliminate all sorts of things like child care, the language from the Republican candidate. And it didn't work. Hillary Clinton lost.
But the shock of Hillary Clinton losing to that guy is, as Maxine Waters says, woke everybody up. And this is a different time. And women and men are stepping up, Americans across this country, to say, no, this is not the country we're going to be. This is not the direction we're going to go.
Quick lightning round. How much did the races in Virginia in the House of Delegates in November impact women? 11 women flipped seats in Virginia.
That's right. It was extraordinary. Virginia had a historic number of women on the ballot, 43 running for House of Delegates. We, you know, I said every day we see women signing up to run. After those victories in Virginia, those numbers basically tripled every day for a week because women not only thought I might run, but then they thought I might win. Mm. I got to do this.
Yeah.
And it was fantastic.
Well, and what about the push to get Al Franken out? Many Democrats said it was too fast, too swift from the Democrats, and it equated him with behavior that they saw as far worse than his own misconduct.
Well, I think, you know, we're at a place where we've got to listen to women, and we're going to have some really hard conversations about where we go from here. I don't know these answers, but I know that we're ready as a country to have this conversation, and it's time.
Stephanie Shriok, president of Emily's List, the National Political Action Committee devoted to electing women to office. Thank you so much for taking the temperature of women in politics with us. Thank you.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for doing this.